And good morning to everyone. We should note that Justice Wright and Justice Kelch will not be participating on any of today's cases. With that in mind, the first case of the day is State versus Caitlin N. Cabell. Ms. Gunn, good morning to you.
I'm an attorney at Legal Aid of Nebraska, and Legal Aid represents the appellant in this case. This appeal involves the interpretation of a statute, and the statute is section 293523, and it provides for the sealing of criminal history information, including court records, under certain circumstances. And the statute in this case really affects two entities or parties, the court and how it treats its own records, and the individual seeking to seal their records pursuant to the statute. And I would submit that sealing the records would have a minimal impact on the court, but the impact it has on the individual who's seeking to seal their records when the case has been dismissed without a conviction is life-changing. And as a matter of public policy, the legislature has determined that certain criminal history information, including court records, should be sealed from the public because of the harms that they cause. And as the amicus brief of the ACLU points out, there's collateral consequences to having a criminal record, including things like barriers to employment and housing. And there's many people that have criminal records, and not all records result in a conviction. And so when these records are open to the public, an employer can review them and make a determination that's adverse to the individual who was never convicted of a crime. And this individual is placed in a position where they are not provided the opportunities that other people are, and not able to advance in life. So I think the purpose of 293523 is to remove the barriers caused by having these records and to reduce recidivism by removing the records from the public view.
How do you think this interpretation of the statute interacts with once a record is out there and someone else has acquired it, including entities who acquire these records for resale to other entities? Once it's out there, what can be done about that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that's a separate question from how the statute should be interpreted. And if records are already out there, they are out there. But what the statute provides for is the sealing of records from the date of a court order and the criminal justice agencies are notified forward. What, and at that point in time,
what you're arguing about the purpose of the statute is that it's to prevent collateral consequences from third parties. But if third parties already have the records, how are those collateral consequences going to be prevented?
Well, in certain circumstances, then it becomes an obligation of the parties to check to make sure that those records, that the person doing the record check should check the database that they're provided information from to ensure that those records have been sealed. And if they're reporting cases that shouldn't be reported, there's recourse for the individual, because that could be a violation, for example, of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which an employer may be subject to when they're reviewing these types of records or accessing these types of records.
And that would only apply if the prospective employee somehow found out that was the reason they weren't considered for employment.
Correct. And under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, they should be that decision, that record was used to make that determination adversely affected.
Well, that's assuming that they ever get that far in the employment process, isn't it? I mean, that someone may be screened out and never get a contact from a prospective employer because of third-party information itself.
Right, and while that might be true, again, I think that the statute itself says that those records should be sealed.
Whose duty is it to seal those records?
I think that it depends. It's the duty of the court to seal the records.
We have the duty to seal other parties' records. We have the authority to do that.
Under the statute, there is the authority to seal criminal court records when the case was dismissed upon motion of the prosecuting attorney.
So you're not asking just to seal the court's record, the case file perhaps, you're asking all other records that may be disseminated by law enforcement, crime commission, things of that nature.
That is correct.
And under this statute, is a motion the proper way to bring this action?
Yes.
What
authority? For this appellant, yes.
Why is that?
And I think that there's the authority, well, there's two reasons, because the statute doesn't limit relief to only those whose cases were dismissed on or after January 1st of 2017. But I also think that there's the case, which is State versus Blair, which was decided in 2007 under the prior version of the statute, and what that case stands for is that an individual can petition for relief, and motion for relief under the statute, to request that their records be sealed or expunged.
The statute creates an affirmative duty of parties that hold the records.
Correct.
To seal their own records. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And if a party fails to do that, is there remedies for the individual that's damaged by that?
Yes. There is the, under the Act itself, which I think is 25-35-28 is the exact statute, but there is a remedy for the entity that holds the record if they violate the provisions of the statute.
And how's that remedy accessed?
By motioning the court or petitioning the court to enforce
the act. Does it say file an action?
Correct.
Writ of mandamus? Does it also say that as well?
It says that a writ of mandamus may be filed. It doesn't say that it shall be filed. And I think in this case, a mandamus was not appropriate because there wasn't, although there was a duty to seal the court records, in the appellant's case, it wasn't automatic because her case was dismissed before January 1st of 2017. The court still had to make a determination in the appellant's case as to whether she met the criteria of the statute, meaning whether or not her case had been dismissed upon motion of the prosecuting attorney. And once she brings the motion to do that, I think, and she meets the criteria of the statute, which she does, I don't think there's any dispute of that, then the court should have issued an order sealing her court records.
Is this statute retroactive? Because the prior statute dealt with notation of arrest, and this was a citation, and that was changed by statute, amendment to the statute later, so is this new provision retroactive back to this?
Our position is that the appellant is not asking for the retroactive application of the statute. She's asking for the prospective application of the statute from this date forward.
Well, the statute didn't apply to her at the time of her citation. Is that correct?
The 2007 version of the statute was in effect at the time she received her citation.
But that dealt with notations of arrest.
That is true.
And this was not an arrest. Is that correct?
That is. It depends upon how you define the word arrest. And I don't think the word arrest is defined anywhere in the statute.
So
right,
you're
to issue the citation in lieu of arrest, I don't think a person is free to leave the custody of the person issuing the citation.
So citation's equivalent to an arrest.
I would argue in this instance, under the 2007 version of the statute, yes, it's irrelevant. Because the result is still a conviction, or could be.
If we were to disagree with that, then would the amendment that says citations be effective to your client?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she's not seeking the retroactive application of the statute. She didn't have a case or cause of action pending. Her case was dismissed in 2013, right? So then the statute was amended in 2016 and went into effect in 2017. She filed a motion in January of 2017 under the current law to apply to her circumstance. So the citation in lieu of arrest, the sealing of the court records, the process for that to occur is all under this new statute. She's not asking for anything with respect to her prior record be changed. She's not asking for the court to change a court order. She's not asking for the complaint, the charges filed against her be changed. She's not asking for the disposition of her case to be changed.
She's asking for those records to be sealed.
Right, but nothing about anything that happened in the past is going to change. It's just from this date forward. We can't go back and seal her records from the past. They're open, right? From 2003, when the case was filed, until now, that's a public record. You can only seal prospectively. And that's what she's asking for. She's not asking for the retroactive application of the statute. And I think that the UNL Civil Clinic's amicus brief points out, like the divorce law, and when that changed, to no fault. And no one interpreted the statute to mean that you had to be married before that statute, after that statute was enacted to get divorced under the no fault. It doesn't matter what state of your marriage was, that law still applied. And that's, I think, I would submit is the intent of the statute here. Is to apply to all cases, regardless of the date that they were dismissed. And to interpret the statute as to not apply to cases dismissed before 2013 defeats the purpose of the statute, because the intent of the statute is to provide this relief to people.
Now.
Now.
At the time that that event occurred, the discharge or dismissal, that statute didn't apply.
Right. Not until it went into effect in January of 2017. And now I would submit that it applies to everyone. And so if it's not automatically sealed, the case was dismissed after January 1st of 2017, an individual still has the right to petition the court to relief to seal their court records and for the court to issue an order.
Thank you. And we've already discussed this, but essentially the horse is already out of the barn, right?
That is true. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Ms. Brownlee?
Yes.
Good morning to you.
My name is Marcy Brownlee. I'm an assistant city prosecutor with the City of Lincoln. We're the appellee in this case because we were the original prosecuting agency in 2013, the ones that issued the dismissal. With all due respect to the attorneys on the other side and their arguments, our issue with regards to this particular case is actually what the statute says, what the intent of the statute is, and that's the basis of our submission of our brief. Regardless of what the intent is, I think we're limited by what the statute says, and the statute prior to 2017 applied to the public records of local agencies, which the Lincoln Police Department would have been a local agency. They were the arresting agency. Lincoln Police Department would have had records with regards to this case. It would have applied to the Lincoln Police Department once that dismissal hit and the case was dismissed for child diversion. The Lincoln Police Department would have removed those records from the public from public access after the 3-year period that was under the pre-2017 statute. What happens in 2017 is that the statute is amended, and the specific amendment provides for the sealing of court records and notice to other agencies to seal. Prior to this time, court records were open and available to the public under the previous version of 2017. And there's a specific statute even within the criminal records statute that says court records are open. So this change in 2017 is a substantial change to the statute. It provides for a category of relief that didn't exist prior to the enactment of 2017, prior to the enactment that went into 2017. There was no relief available to Ms. Cobble in 2013 to have her court records sealed. And that's what she's asking to do, is to seal her court records. That didn't exist in 2013. It became available to defendants whose cases have been dismissed when the statute was enacted in 2017. And so in order for Ms. Cobble to have relief, it has to be a retroactive application to something that happened in 2013 for a relief that didn't become available for her till 2017.
So you disagree with what I think your colleague just said, that this is really just a request to seal for the future?
Yes, I do disagree. With regards to, I think you're asking, Your Honor, whether I disagree with whether she's entitled to this relief going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that this particular statute, according to Sake versus Bain, is a self-executing statute, which means that the petitioners or the defendant should not have to do anything in order to have this statute taken into effect and for these orders to be sealed.
How does that work? If it's self-executing, is this then a duty on the public officials to...
I think it's a duty on the court system, and currently that's what's happening. Anytime anything is dismissed by a prosecutor, an order is issued by the county court or the district court saying to the prosecuting agency, seal your records, seal the court records, and it's happening every day.
That's a self-executing statute. It means that it happens without the petitioner doing anything, without the prosecuting agency doing anything.
So there's two things you're saying there. One's anecdotal, that's not in the record,
right.
but you're saying this is how it should work.
That is correct.
It should be self-executing.
Correct.
From the new date forward.
And I think it's always been self-executing. The previous version of 2017 was self-executing. The Lincoln Police Department and any local agency in charge of public criminal histories had the duty to make them non-public upon the passage of the prescribed three-year period of time in diversion cases, in cases that were not filed within a one-year period of time. There was no orders ever issued. The petitioner or the defendant never had to do anything in order to remove those things from the record. It just occurred.
So if, ignoring for the time being the retroactive issue in this particular case, if self-executing is supposed to be occurring, as you see the statute in, and as an agency fails to adhere to the statute, what's a person to do?
There is, within the Criminal History Act, mm-hmm. There is a provision, it's the last chapter in the Act that says that anybody that is affected by, impacted by a misrepresentation or mischaracterization of this Act has a right to file an original action in the district court, and it also further names who should be served. Then obviously, with regard to this particular motion, there's always the application for the writ of mandamus. Because these are public officials that hold records, and if you are aggrieved,
embedded in a mandamus is there's a duty to do something that's not happening.
Well, in this
case, so therefore, are you saying, well, mandamus would be available here because there was a duty to do something in this case that didn't happen, even though the incident is prior to 17?
I think that.
Which is it?
Well, I think that if you feel that as a petitioner has, or as the appellant has argued to this court, that the county court had a duty to seal her records under the statute, and the county court issued an order that did not seal those records, and it is required to seal those records prospectively forward, a writ of mandamus would be appropriate because you would be alleging that the court had a duty to seal the records and it failed to do that.
As of 17?
As of 17.
So your argument now is that all of the courts in the state ought to go through their past records? And
my argument is that if you find that this relief, as it's written, is prospective, is available to like-situated defendants like Ms. Cobble, then I think that's exactly what happens, is that then the court then has a duty to go back and seal every record that was ever dismissed in perpetuity, because that's what that means. There's nothing in the statute that specifically gives a pathway for the defendant to come into court and ask to have their record sealed. There's nothing in that statute, unlike other statutes, like the juvenile sealing statute, which specifically gives a procedural method to be able to seal records. This has always been treated as a self-executing statute. That's how it's been treated in the past. And the Bain case specifically finds that in 2007. There are difficulties with this statute. And I understand the argument about the intent of the statute, and I wouldn't disagree with that. The problem is that the statute has to be applied as it's written, maybe not as it's intended, but as it's written. And in this particular case, it certainly did not go into effect until 2017. The relief, the changes that were made in 2017 are substantial rather than procedural, and the county court went through that particular kind of argument. I think that I wouldn't reiterate that, but these are substantial changes that were made. The new remedies were made available to defendants And in this particular case, I don't think that the changes were such that they can be applied retroactively. And Ms. Cobble's case was completely closed in 2013. Statute of limitations would have run, appeal time would have run. It was a completely closed case at that point in time, so it was not pending or available for retroactive.
So your argument, in essence, is that the argument for prospective application to previous, to persons whose convictions or dismissals occurred before the effective date of the statute, that that argument necessarily amounts to retroactive application.
I do. Yes, exactly.
And if the court were to say that was the case, it was in effect retroactive, then everybody'd have a big job feeling stuff.
That's very correct. And my agency wouldn't be affected very little because we have already been doing that as an arresting agency or local agency. We've been doing that all along under the previous version. It would be the court system itself that would have the burden of determining what had to be sealed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't believe we have time for rebuttal. There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day.